The reading for our meditation today is taken from the book to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 4. If you endure discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, disciplined us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was in eighth grade, three of my friends invited me to come along with them to see a movie, and I didn't know a whole lot about it, but I was all excited to go together with my friends on our bikes, drive downtown, and go see a movie. And I went to ask my dad for permission, and he said, well, what movie are you going to go see? And I told him, and he said, well, I know some things about that movie, and I don't think it's good for you to go see it. I don't want you to go. And I stood and argued with him. I can still remember where I was in the yard. I stood and argued with him about it. My friends were waiting on their bikes. I was totally embarrassed, of course, and he finally refused to let me go, and because I argued with him so much, he said, I want you to go up to your room and sit and think about this for a while. So I had to tell my three friends I couldn't come. Not only that, but now I had to go sit in my room all alone and stew about it, and I had some pretty bad feelings toward my dad at that moment. The text in front of us says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And that was certainly the case for me. The text that we're reading from was written to the Hebrews. And these were Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians, living in Judea at the time. And it was during a time of great persecution. And they were undergoing a lot of difficult things because of their faith in Christ as their Savior. And the majority of the Jewish people had rejected this idea that Christ was the Messiah. And I'm sure many of these people that initially got this letter probably lost business dealings, maybe had animosity toward them from some of their own family members now that they came to believe in Christ. We know that some of the pastors were executed, some of possibly their own pastors were executed. They faced a variety of difficulties and temptations because of their faith, psychological, spiritual, physical. There are times when God doesn't seem to really pay much attention to our prayers or what we might want. And there are times when it seems like he almost turns his back on us. And that night when I was sitting in my bed while my friends were at a movie and I was stewing about what I missed, it wouldn't have taken much to convince me that my dad really didn't care about me. When you're in the middle of being disciplined, it is easy to question whether your parent loves you or whether they even know what they're doing. And yet we know from Scripture that God certainly controls all things, and God permits certain things to happen in people's lives. Sometimes he lets them face some pretty tough, difficult times. We think of the poor widow who is putting the last coins from her finances into the alms box outside of the temple in Jerusalem. I'm sure it could have been tempting for her to wonder if God really cared about her with her poverty and being a widow and everything, all the commotion going on past her in the world. And yet we know that Jesus' eyes were upon her, and Jesus knew her whole situation. He understood everything about her life. There's a scene in the New Testament, too, where St. Paul was being stoned by a mob in the city of Lystra. He'd been thrown outside of the city and left for dead. And interestingly enough, though, after being all beat up, almost dead, he comes back into the city and he meets with the Christians who are living there and he encourages them. Listen to what he says. We must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. But the problem for us is when we analyze our life situation in the middle of trial, when we analyze it according to our logic and our reasoning and our thinking, it appears to contradict this kind-hearted God that we've come to know. It appears to contradict this loving, kind-hearted God that we learn about in the Scriptures. And it's easy for us to start wondering, does God have something against me? Is he trying to punish me for something I did? Does God hate me? Does he really care about me? Is he really in control? Or worse yet, is he even there? Does he even exist? And yet we know throughout Scripture that even in the most desperate situations that believers are in, the eye of God is always upon them. It never leaves his children. They are always considered highly in his sight. In fact, there may be times when he's watching us more closely at those moments when we think we've been abandoned. He's maybe watching us more closely at that moment than any time in our life. Many years ago, there was a young man in my congregation that I grew up in, and I later came back to serve that congregation as a pastor when I was in my adulthood. And I just remembered that this man had a couple of sons that I grew up with, and they had very different personalities. And many years later, I was talking to the father and of these two boys, and I said, you know, it seemed like you handled them differently. And he said, I had to. Their personalities were so completely different from each other. I knew that what would work with one maybe wouldn't work with the other. And if I pushed too hard on one, it might make him run away. But if I could do that to the other one, he maybe could take that. It's interesting that when it comes to each believer in this world, that's how God is toward us. He knows us intimately. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he understands the things that can work in our life for us and the things that maybe wouldn't. And so we look around ourselves at all these different Christians dealing with different things, and it's as if God drops in certain challenges here and there, and we wonder, why in the world did God put that on this person and not on me and this over here? Or maybe on me I got something different than someone else. But God understands intimately the thoughts and minds and the psychology and everything about us as human beings as far as what he knows will work best for us. There's a hymn that we sing this week that I love. There's a line in it, and it says this, "Well, he knows what best to grant me." That is such a great line. Well, he knows what best to grant me. And unlike our human fathers who can make mistakes, I know I sure did as a dad with my kids, unlike human fathers who can make mistakes, our Heavenly Father, in his dealings with us, is always pure and holy and can never make mistakes. And his discipline of us, without fail, is always to our ultimate advantage. And you know, the testing or the challenging or the disciplining that a parent does to their child should never be for the parent's sake. It's always for the child's sake. It's always for their benefit. And God gives his sure promise to every one of you that no matter what it is he might allow to have happen to you in life, he's going to bring a blessing to you through that trial. I got denied going to see a movie I wanted to see as a kid, and later on as an adult, I went back and watched that movie, and I kind of understood why my dad didn't want me to see it. And I realized as a parent why I wouldn't want my eighth grade son to go see it too. And that's what the text says before us. Listen to this. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. And then he goes on to say that we may share in Christ's holiness. Isn't that interesting? that God may at times cause you to struggle and deal with some really hard problems in this world. And you may wonder where he's at times. But it's always for your good and benefit, and a time will come, either in this life or the life to come, when you will look back on it and realize that God was using that maybe to humble me, maybe to remind me of how desperately I needed my Savior and all the wonderful things he did for me by going to the cross to pay for all of my sins. Maybe God was doing this to strengthen me in my faith or to stir up my prayer life or maybe even to help someone else. And yet God always had a good purpose and intent and reason behind whatever we go through. And later on, especially in heaven, we will realize he used that to produce in us a harvest of righteousness. Righteousness is something none of us have on our own, of course. None of us are good and perfect before God. The righteousness that's always being talked about is what Christ has done for you and that God gives you in your baptism and that he gives you through that wonderful gift of faith. My dad never quite said it this clearly, but it's as if there were times when my dad was saying to me, "You can argue with me about this someday in heaven." That's where we can have an argument about this someday. So what should you and I pray for and ask for of God in our lives? We should pray that God would give us whatever it takes to keep us holding on to our Savior, because that alone is what will get us out of our graves and get to enjoy the feasts of heaven. And give us the things that will give us a deeper appreciation for his grace, a greater desire to hear his word, a greater desire to receive his sacrament. That's why Jesus instructs you and me to pray, "Thy will be done." And someday when you and I, by God's grace, get to heaven through faith in Christ, then we can have an argument with God about why he did certain things to get us to heaven, as if we're going to care, right? Amen. Please rise and let us join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in his peace. Amen.